Hey, Warriors, and welcome back to another episode of Warrior Within. I hope you had a great week. Mine's not been too bad, and good rain. Still have allergies, but still good. So I decided that, after the series I just did, one of the things I haven't done since the beginning is to talk about the verses that I used or I am using for Warrior Within. So this is basically Warrior Within versus part one. I know it's not an exciting name, but the idea was I wanted to talk about the two purpose sets of verses that I thought of when I decided to do the podcast. And a lot of it is because of what I went through that this was even developed, but it's also stuff that I was studying, which kind of helped me realize there's things in scripture that I have read before, but never really thought about how the effects it has on Christians. But specifically, I was looking at it from a perspective for men. Because a lot of times when we talk about, ideas for men to like names and groups and stuff like that, we think of knights because it's always like depicted into the Templar time during the medieval times. So we always think of the guys who have white and there's the red cross on their chest or something like that. And even though that was the Roman Catholics' perspective that they thought they were doing a holy war, I don't think personally looking through history that was meant by God to go and attack the Holy Lands. I think that was more of the Catholic rulers trying to start something to not lose control of the countries they had control over. However, when I started looking into more of that side of things, I was like, I don't want to be connected to necessarily the Templar concept. But in scripture, Paul does use the armor of God, does he not? And so it made me start thinking about, it's a warrior's mindset when we look at the armor. We picture a knight because the knight has a helmet, a chest plate, the sword, the shield, the boots, and all the descriptions that are in the verses. However, most likely when Paul was thinking about the armor, he was looking at it from also the Roman soldier, which the belt held together a lot of the pieces, as well as there were no thigh armor, there was no necessarily shoulder armor. It was just the helm, the chest plate, and the chest plate usually only covered the front because you're heading into battle forward, not backwards. And then the boots usually covered up the shin up to the knees in some cases, or just the shin and the foot. They didn't necessarily have gloves, so they didn't really protect their hands that way because that's what the shield and the sword was used. So in my mind, I was picturing kind of more of the Roman concept, but at the same time, I still was thinking of knights because that's always a very good depiction of what knights were. Because there was a knight's code. They were responsible for their territory in some way, which makes it even cooler for us to really think about. Plus, C.S. Lewis really loved his knights, and that's why a lot of his books, when the knights are introduced, it's very much an important part of the design of that knight. Because chivalry was still a thing, and it was still something talked about. But I also believe that it should be a good thing. It's been almost 4 years, guys, since I started this. And back when I first started, that if you started from the beginning, there's a journey that I've gone through. There's a battles I've gone through. There's concepts, there's thoughts, there's personal battles I've had to go through to get to where I am today. And a lot of it has changed, not the biblical part, but the perspective of how I look at life has also changed after these past 3.5 years plus. And I also think it's very important in any type of ministry concept, even if it is a podcast that I've been doing and talking, to any ministry should always go and talk about the foundation by which you're wanting the ministry to stand on. And so I figured talking about these verses would be a good thing to do in a, you know, more updated thing. We've had lots of new people. We've had lots of new people join the Discord. We've had some great conversations. I've met some really neat guys. Some of them have joined the gaming community I'm a part of. Others, you know, they still just do the other Discord group. It's been really neat. And, you know, to clarify, this podcast ministry is not a place where everybody is supposed to come and be, this is the thing. Everybody is supposed to come so they can learn, take it, and apply it to their lives. Two, if they join the Discord, it's to find a network of other men who are battling the same things in everyday life, but they don't have to do it alone. They have a group of guys they can come online, reach out to, and talk to, connect with, ask for prayer, and even share their burdens, their battles, and their sins. It's a very hard thing to do, to open up to other men you've never met in your life. However, when you know that God is trying to help you grow to be more of a godly man, there is a battle that we are all going to face. We're all going to struggle, and we're all going to have to battle, either try to do it all by ourselves or understand God's purpose and part of our will and part of our lives. And then the other men who are also battling because they love Jesus too, they're battling their battles. There's other guys that can help us keep accountable and be encouraged and to pray with us and to just talk about things. It's needed. So the first concept was based off of the armor of God. It was kind of where I got the idea Warrior Within from. You know, if you look up Warrior Within, there is like a military version of it. That's why I had to call it Warrior Within Christian Manhood, because I wanted it to be specifically set aside from that. Let's see what else. So one of the things that I was also seeing was that there was a lot of guys who were trying to find their identity, but they were looking everywhere outside of God, or they were looking to the culture instead of the scriptures. And then I also saw many of us, and this includes myself, felt like we had to face the world alone. No one else understands me. No one has gone through what I've gone through. Nobody can handle what I've been handling. And if I can't handle it, then am I really a man? Because a true man should be able to handle his problems alone. That's what I was getting brought up into the mindset. Because that was also what I saw in churches. There were almost every church I went through, there weren't a strong man's presence of community for men. There was that once in a while men's breakfast, maybe a special event that we were a part of, but there I didn't have a connection to any of the men to help me in my walk, to encourage me, or, you know, like the things that we sometimes see in movies and TV, where there's a group of guys that just hang out, play basketball, and then they talk to each other about the problems. That's not really fake. It's fake because it's not really accessible everywhere. As one guy, we were talking about this the other day in the Discord, you know, he says there's pockets of these type of close-knit men groups. Pockets. Now, when I think of pockets, I don't think everywhere. When I think of pockets, it tells me that it's here and there, or sometimes, or rare. You know, when you think of an ice cube, it's fully hard, but there's pockets of air bubbles in it. But it's not everywhere. And I think that mindset of what we're supposed to be as men, as godly men, should not be pockets. It should be everywhere. It should be harder to find churches who don't have good, strong Christian groups than it is to say it's harder to find good, strong men Christian groups. We have created this Christian manhood where many of us are still trying to figure out what it means to be a man. It doesn't mean that there aren't leaders out there teaching. It doesn't mean there aren't groups that are teaching. But I'm running into more men who are struggling with this concept of what it means to be a man of God. What it means to be a man, period. I mean, we look at our culture trying to redefine the idea of manhood and womanhood. And now you're having all these young men growing up in their 20s, in their 30s, and they're not understanding, or I should say, they're very confused as to what it is, what it really means to be a man. Like, that's why I keep saying that. I think discipling is definitely one area that is very, very weak these days. As we talked about in that group, men's group, where are the older men teaching the younger men? Where are the younger men teaching other men? Where are the men just teaching each other and encouraging each other, praying for each other? When I need help, who do I call? If my wife dies, who's going to cry with me? If I fall into temptation, who's going to help me get back on my feet? And we do have God. And we cry out to him all the time, and he does bring the help. And he does provide answers. Man, he also teaches about unity. He teaches about connection with other believers, sharing each other's burdens, loving one another, encouraging one another. Kindness, gentleness, forgiving, caring, being there. It's still needed. And a lot of times what it is that this warrior within us that we're supposed to be for God is hidden due to confusion and the lack of teaching. And now they don't really know how to be a godly man, for one. Don't know how to be a husband very well. They struggle with being a dad. They struggle at their jobs. Why? Because we are being told that if you can't be doing this all by yourself and be at the top, have everything, have your own home, have your own car, have your own kids, have your own wife, then you're not a man. And then if you're striving and chasing after these standards and it all falls apart and fails, you're a failure too. And these guys are chasing these standards, these identities. And when it all collapses, they come tumbling down so hard, but there's no one there to catch them. And I know a lot of you are like, well, God's there. Yes, God will be the one that's going to finally be the one that catches them. But it's going to be a really long drop in a lot of cases. And it's going to be really hard. I've done this trying to do it alone. It doesn't work out very well. But the hard part was finding guys I could trust. Finding guys who can help with my burdens. Lift me up when I need to be lifted. Encourage me when I need to be encouraged. And the thing is, it's because of God that I have some men that I can talk to. Unfortunately, they're not close by. You know, I wish they could be. But I do know this: God provided those people. He heard my cries. But there's a lot of guys out there that don't see God in that type of strength. They don't see God being there for them. And they need to have other men who are beside them, encouraging them, helping them walk the walk. Because discipleship in itself has lost its luster I don't see it as much as it should be because it's self-evident by how I hear people talk about the scriptures, how people pray, how people think God is like, how they use scripture in their life that isn't a proper usage. So let's go to Ephesians 6:10 through 13, which are the verses. This does not include all the armor pieces, but it's the main verses that I hope you guys will take this and remind yourself every day. This is what Warrior Within is also about. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It says to be strong in the Lord, and it says in the strength of his might. It doesn't say our might, and it does not say our strength in the Lord. It says be strong in the Lord. And the only way you could do that is by knowing God. That is the only way. Spending time in his word, praying, being in other men, asking questions, seeking out encouragement, looking up scripture, praying for each other, sharing each other's burdens. And more you get to know the Lord, the more you're going to understand what it means to be strong in him. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Think about that for a second. Put on the whole armor. So you can what? Stand against the schemes of the devil. That means every day, every day, every day, every time you wake up, the enemy is already doing schemes. 24/7, all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. However, I do think if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord, that the devils and the enemy does not have to spend that much time with you because you're already falling short. You're already making mistakes. You're doing it all on your own. And they don't have to keep tempting you until you start questioning. And when you're like, well, maybe I shouldn't, then they start throwing it back in you. But you're so disconnected from God that it's so much easier to fall into the temptation. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood. That means we're not fighting against people. However, I do think people are manipulated and are influenced by the spiritual realm to do things against us. But the battle is not against them because they are also under the same temptation and battles that we are going through. Whether they're saved or not, they're all still battling, they're all struggling. The difference is we have the Holy Spirit so we could see and have discernment. Because the closer we are getting to the Lord, the better we're going to be able to see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And that continues as, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That tells you right there are spiritual battles all around. 24/7. This is the key thing to understand. We have the choice to sin, to fall into temptation, to make bad mistakes. But there is an enemy, there is a sin nature that is going to be in a constant battle against your spiritual understanding of God that's going to create destruction. It's going to steal from you, it is going to hurt you. And it's going to attack everything that you care about. And that means they can use people who aren't really following the Lord, who are more interested in themselves. They're being tempted to chase after their pride, to chase after their fears, to chase after their hurt, to chase after their vengeful hearts, that they hurt you in the process because they rather feed what makes them feel better than do what is right. And those are the spiritual battles going on. That's what I learned in 2019. As much as there was people who were against me, I saw the spiritual battle that was going on. And that's what God wanted me to understand. There is a spiritual battle going on, and you must stay faithful to me in obedience, doing as I asked. That's why when I pointed out that he said, You keep ministry. I'll take care of the battle. As much as I wanted to fight that physical battle that I saw, God said, no, I want you to focus on ministering. I know it's going to be hard. I know you're going to struggle. I know it's going to feel like you're going to hit left and right. Keep ministering. I will fight your battle. And he did. And he also used what was meant to be evil in some sense for good, because I got taken out and now I'm on this journey that he has placed my wife and I, that's better than I can ever imagine. Still a little bit scary, still a little bit like uncertain, but I know, and I know in my heart and my mind and my spirit that my trust is in God in this, because I understood that there is a spiritual battle and that's what I need to fight against. I still make mistakes. I still do sinful things. I still get upset. I still, you know, hurt my wife with my words. I still struggle just like everyone else struggles, but I also understand who is my king. And I know that the enemy is trying to break me, to break my wife and I up, to break the ministry idea up, to try to do everything possible to make things not work as God wants it to work. Because hurting us will hurt God. That is how the enemy is always going to look at it. So 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Standing firm is that you are able to take the attacks that are going on. But can you imagine if we didn't do it alone? We have God. But can you imagine if there's other brothers that are standing beside us who are also facing battles, who, one, we can encourage, you know, grab, you know, help them get on their feet. But when I fall, I know they'll help me get back on my feet. Because as I said, God is our king. He is the Lord that we are following. And we are like his knights. We are warriors of God. And these warriors are not men flesh battles, but spiritual ones. This is why it's very important to understand prayer. This is why it's important to pray. The prayer itself is not going to change the outcome. God is. But where do we place our faith and trust? In God. So we pray in faith and for his will, meaning that it may not be the way we want it to be, but we're trusting in his will because we're standing in his presence in faith, and we're trusting that whatever he has planned, even if it's hard, even if we lose people, even if things just don't work out the way we were hoping, but they work out because God has a plan for it. Even if you suddenly go from being rich to poor and suddenly poor to rich, anything that happens is because God had a plan. He put it out, but he needed to teach you things first. He needed you to understand certain things so that you have a better understanding. So when he places you into the position that he has planned for you, you will be better prepared. It'd be like taking a kindergartner and throwing him in the NFL game and say, run the football, and expect him to know what to do and take those hits. No, he gets trained. He grows up in understanding the football game. He grows up into playing the different football games at different levels. He gains knowledge and understanding the good and the bad, the struggles, the harshness, the battle where everything comes from that. And so the time he gets to the point where he is in college and suddenly he's done with it and he's on the draft and he gets chosen, that small 5% chance of being in the NFL draft. And then suddenly he's in the big leagues. That's the idea. He trained up in understanding and growth so that when he finally faced the main gist of the battle, which is the NFL concept, he was ready. This is why bringing up your children and understanding who God is on a daily basis and not trying to keep them as children, teach them how to grow up, teach them how to be prepared for college, teach them how to be prepared for high school, teach them how to be prepared for middle school. Teach them how to deal with bullies. Teach them how to deal with people trying to give them drugs or pornography or girls trying to sleep with them at a younger age. Teach them understanding. Don't let them ask the why and you telling them because I said so. because they need to know. If they don't know, then they don't know how to be aware. That'd be like if the Holy Spirit, you go to God and say, Lord, I don't know which job to take. I don't know what to do. And he says, I just told you so. And it's like, well, that doesn't answer. What am I supposed to do? Well, I'm your God. You know, I'm God. I told you so. No, he tells us why we don't fornicate. He tells us why we don't lie. He tells us why we get married to a woman and not the opposite gender. He tells us why we're supposed to obey him. He tells us why his truth is the truth. It's absolute. He tells us the why. He tells us to put the full armor of God. There is a reason for why he tells us to put the full armor of God. But it begins with the most important part that I always say is the most important part. Putting God first. We know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us about the two greatest commandments because they wanted to try to get Jesus to mess up. But he says there's two. And I'm sure they were like, oh yeah, which of the 10 is he going to pick? So what he did is he put up in two categories, God, people. And he said, the first, the most important one, the first one is love God with your all. Heart, soul, mind, spirit, body. All aspects of your life is supposed to be in God's will. And you're supposed to humble yourself to his authority. You're supposed to humble yourself to his will, his truth, and nothing else. You're not supposed to be adding anything to his truth. You're not supposed to try to figure out other techniques that give me this oneness, because we're not supposed to seek oneness with God. We're supposed to be in obedience to God. So we're supposed to give all aspects. And then the second half, just like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Because when you love God first, you will be able to love others godly-like. In other words, with a Christian perspective, a worldview. You see, loving God always seems to be second to what we're supposed to be doing. There is men running around, swinging their swords, trying to hit the enemy, and just getting knocked down over and over again, falling on their face, falling on their butts. Because the enemy is going to strike in any different direction they possibly can. But can you imagine that through all that fog of war, when you finally say, Lord, okay, I humble myself to you. I understand I must love you with my whole heart, soul, and mind. So I do. I give it all. I repent. I stop trying to fight you, trying to stop fighting myself to try to make things happen the way I want to happen. And I'm willing to get down on my knees and I surrender my sword and my shield to your will. And he puts his hand out, picks you up, and he says, thank you. Look at me. You see this fog of war that's blocking you? Focus on me. Look at me. Trust me. Obey me. Do as I ask. And that fog will start being lifted. And look, there's other men around you doing exactly the same thing, trying to fight these wars, these battles every day alone. We are not alone. You're not alone. You got to start looking at God first. Stop trying to write your own story. Stop trying to take control. Let go. Humble yourselves. Fall to his obedience and humility. And pay attention. Repent. Turn your eyes back on him. Ask him to renew your heart, your mind, your spirit, that it focuses on you. And ask him to clean out any guck that you're probably holding on to, because you want to keep that control. We want to keep control. This is the opportunity right now that you can understand you're not alone. We're going to take a quick break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You see, we're not waging war against the world. We are not fighting as the world fights. We're fighting as God asked us to do. He gave us the armor of God, sword, shield, helm, chest plate, belt, and boots. Each one is designated with a purpose and a mindset that's connected to the spirit, heart, and attitude and actions of our life. But if we're not careful, because we're not, the way I was looking at it, the helm of salvation, we're supposed to be constantly reminding ourselves who saved us. Grace. What Jesus did for us. It gives us a purpose, an identity in Christ. Because we remember that we are his child, we are adopted, we have been forgiven. That the sins that we have done will not be held against us as a form of being killed and then put in hell, because Christ died for that. Look at the sword of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. It is there within us. It dwells in us. And if we keep neglecting it, trying to keep it from having its way to give us discernment and direction as we step forward, as we walk in the light, it'll be useless. Shield of faith. Because we don't hold on to the faith we're supposed to have in the Lord, because we don't spend time getting to know him, so we can't learn to have faith in him, which also means we can't learn to trust him, our shield is useless. Our breastplate of righteousness, because we're not seeking out to be righteous. Men of integrity, character, walking with the Lord, being obedient to his truth and not the world's. So it fades away. The belt of truth, understanding where we stand. Our truth. Where does it lie? Does it lie in the world? Does it lie in these other ideologies that are getting into our church? Is that how we're supposed to be more in the truth? God's word is like a part of it, but everybody else's books and worship music and teachings are actually better than what the scriptures have to give us. We are literally teaching Christians today that, yeah, we have the Bible, but all these other pastors and all the stuff they have done are just as equal to scripture. No. And then our boots of peace. Can we take steps every day in our life, understanding that it's not going to be easy, it's going to be a battle, and the only way we're going to get through it is because God gives us peace through it. So even if you're sick as a dog and you need to keep moving, God will give you the strength. You lost your job and now you're working a job that's not paying enough to do anything. I will get you through it. But we have to learn that peace means peace with God's understanding through what we're going through on a daily basis. Because we got to remember, when you see a brotherhood of men standing together in prayer and study and encouragement and just keeping each other accountable, it's like looking at that Roman wall of shields that you see like in movies or pictures where all the men are standing next to each other and their shields are locked on and nothing seems to penetrate them, right? Because not only, yes, their backsides are open, but who is standing with us? God is. So it doesn't matter if the enemy breaks through, God's got you. It doesn't matter if you fall because you trip over a stone or you got hit by an arrow, God's got you. And then those other men that are also there are also going to get you too. You see, when we also have the Lord there to give us strength, including the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, what enemy can stand before us? What enemy can stand against us? You are paid for a price. You have been given grace when you don't deserve it. So why not fight these battles with other men who are also seeking the same thing? They want to love God. They want to follow Him. Seek out counsel. Seek out care. Seek out other men that are walking with you, are walking with the same road, that can go with you, because now you're not facing all this alone. Not facing the enemy, breaking through your weak points because you don't know how to defend yourself, because you don't have someone that you can practice with. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." See, the most important thing, and I've already talked about this, the second most important thing is obedience. We are to be obedient to God, and nothing is going to break that if we do. You start allowing compromise to get in the way. Start listening to these lofty opinions and these arguments that are coming into the church. Because, man, this could build better spiritualism in our church, but it's not biblical. That's okay, because the whole idea is for you to get closer to God, is it not? But it's not biblical. But that's okay, because we're trying to build a more spiritual church, so that we can be closer to God, but it's not biblical. You see, obedience is way more important than sacrifice. Sacrificing truth to get a bunch of people to feel spiritual is not biblical. Because when we obey God, people will see that. And as hard as it may be to do it when it feels like you're alone doing the obedience, you keep doing it. Because there is other people out there who want to do the same. They just need to know that they're not alone. It's really what it comes down to. But you're also doing it for the Lord. And if you're working on the armor of God, that's why I said each one is very important. To learn for yourself, to study for yourself, and to help your armor to be stronger. It's so that we could stand against temptations. We could stand against the sins that are coming at us. We could stand against the enemy, because we can resist the devil because we have faith in God and we trust in God. And we put on the full armor. You see, in 1 John 3:4 through 10, it states, "Everyone who makes practice of sinning also practices lawfulness." Or lawlessness, excuse me. Sin is lawlessness. God's word is absolute truth. It follows the scriptures. So sin can't be there. If your life is full of sin, something's not right. If you're struggling with it, it's good that you understand that you're struggling. Some people don't care. But the thing is, the fact that you see that there's something going on, and I need to fix it, you keep asking God to help you. And if you find other men that are also struggling with similar sins, they might give you some ideas and thoughts of how to keep walking with the Lord, just like we saw in the Discord. People shared things that they had battled themselves, and they gave them apps and Bible verses and books, and it helped them to be able to go, I can see this now. Verse 5 says, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins." Who? Jesus. "And in him there is no sin." And Jesus, there is no sin. Why? Because he had to be the perfect lamb. He had to die with no sin. Verse 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. The thing is, what it's talking about is one who abides in him. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. I've noticed that when I spend more time with the Lord, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, watching the temptations that come through and making sure I don't just get sucked right into it. Sometimes it helps me to, when I'm get upset, to think about it before I speak. Because like I told you, you know, I do have cussing issues that just never seems to go away. It's almost like a burden I can't get rid of. The more I've been closer to God, the more I've been trying to be more obedient to him, the less I've had desire to want to do it. So it is very possible to not keep sinning. But I do think we will do it because we sometimes falter away and we fall off. It just happens because we take our eyes off of who we're supposed to be having our eyes on, right? We stop reading the Bible. We stop praying. We stop going to church. We stop hanging out with people that helped us stay upright. We recluse ourselves when we start falling apart. Why? Because we don't want to ask for help. Could be most likely, well, I should say, it's most likely going to be pride. We put that shield of pride on because if we open up too much, then people are going to look negative down us. But that's the thing, is we're supposed to be sharing each other's burdens. You didn't have to feel like you were falling apart alone or stuck in your sin. Say something that people know. It says in verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So if we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're following the devil and we're being of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy that, and yet we're indulging ourselves in it. It's very interesting thoughts. Verse 9, no one born of God makes practice of sinning. See, the thing is, if we're born in God, we're not going to enjoy wanting to do all the sins. And this is very something I know guys are struggling with this, because I hear it. But understand, the fact that you are seeing that you have a problem with your sin is evident that you want to obey God, is evident that you are a child of God, because you understand that it's wrong, and so your desire is to not want to sin, so you keep chasing after to not want to sin. So you're not going to keep on sinning because you want to be more like Christ, you want to be holy. It's evident of our sanctification. To be sanctified will never happen until we get to heaven, because that's when we'll be cleansed of everything that we have done and not held up accountable, even though God will confront us at the white throne about why did you do this? Why did you not do this? It's not going to be, hey, you did all these sins, you're out. It's, hey, Jesus saved you, he did all this stuff. Why didn't you resist this? Why did you fall into that temptation? Why didn't you say no? And it's just to show you, this is what Christ did for us. That's what sanctification will lead us into, being up in a, I don't know if you want to say a world, a kingdom, probably the best word to use, of no more sinning, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering. It'd be what it was supposed to be in the first place. Verse 10, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. We're going to be in sin battles every day because the enemy knows if they can break us, we will falter away from what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. We will hide ourselves from other believers because we think we have to be perfect. It's a daily 24 7, spiritual battle, and we got to take it seriously. When we understand that we are not fighting alone, there are other brothers who are, there are other brothers who fight these battles as well. We can find accountability. We can find encouragement. We can find proper teaching. And the most important part of the armor, we can find other men to pray with. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Because praying is supposed to be taking what you've been learning about God and you're saying, I believe that you will do stuff like this for me. I believe your will is the will I'm supposed to have. I am willing to surrender myself to your will. I'm willing to trust you, Lord. I'm asking prayer for people who are struggling, that they, you know, that you bring people into their life. This is why prayer is important. It's our way of speaking to God. It's our way to stand in his presence. It's our way to be able to understand taking the words that we're learning to live by and trusting God with them. When you see a group of men praying together, you will see manhood in action, Christian manhood in action. And when they're caring for one another as a brother should, you will see God in action, because they will be that salt and light for God. And other people will see it. Other men will be curious. Other men will want to know, why are you so different? Why do you treat people so differently? And you'll be able to say, because I know somebody, and he saved me, and he saved you too. Do you want to know about him? And you will see change in how you treat your wives, your kids, your jobs, your community, people you dislike, your enemies. Because you understand, if you don't put that full armor of God, you won't be able to resist the devil. You won't be able to walk upright. You won't be able to understand your truths. You won't be able to, and I just repeat, the truths that are God's, not your own. You won't be able to walk in peace. You won't be able to raise that sword of the Holy Spirit stands with you, keeping you in a understanding of discernment, allowing you to walk in faith, allowing you to fight off the enemy. Seeing the lies from the truth, have discernment on every aspect of your life. You won't be able to put up that shield of faith, because you won't, you'll be more scared. You'll allow the fear and the pride to take over. But they will see that. They will ask once again, why are you so different? And you'll be able to respond, because I know someone who loves you because he first loved me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I ask that you help us as men to walk upright, to walk in truth, to walk in peace, to be reminded every day of who you are and what you've done for us, to have faith, to use the Holy Spirit as we should. Because the more we know about you, the better we'll be able to understand the Holy Spirit's leading and direction, discernment. If there's anybody here struggling with sin, trying to figure out how to repent, just battling temptation daily, give them, one, the strength to be able to say no and to walk away from sin. Two, men in their lives that can keep them accountable and encouraged. And three, that they could start repenting for real and focusing on you, putting you first in their life, that they may see change in their life. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me, and I know I have my struggles, and I know I need you to always remind me who you are and to cleanse me and to build me up and encourage me. And I hope that will be testament for other men to do the same. And I pray that you just bless this day. In your name, amen. Guys, I will see you next time, and God bless.